11, Hebrews chapter 11, well, most of you don't wrong. You'd like to see me set something on fire, wouldn't you? Hebrews chapter 11. I did preach a sermon on one time about shooing the buzzards off, and I had this three-pronged stick. Y'all remember that? I run up and down the aisles with that stick, shooing the buzzards off. And one of the men came to me after church. He said, "Preacher, I need to get saved again. I think you poked my eye out or something with that stick. I'm scared to death. I'm going to hell after you run around with that stick." I don't have any sticks today. Hebrews chapter 11. I hope you have your Bible. Now, I don't know why you came there. I hope you came to hear from the Lord, not me. And so I'm going to give you what he says, okay? And while you're turning there, I want to tell you, in my Sunday school class, I am teaching from the Bible. How do you know you have a verbally inspired, preserved Word of God? How do you know that? Word for word. How do you know you got a word for word Bible and it's exactly the way it was when it was originally penned down? How do you know? And I'm teaching that in Sunday school, so you adults come to Sunday school. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Let's pray. Father, we live in the greatest country on your earth. The easiest place to get a Bible on earth. The easiest place to be saved. The easiest place to get to go to church. The easiest place to have a testimony that we have faith in Christ. God, we thank you today. We live in a place we can gather together like this among people of the same mind. And God, by faith we claim your presence and your power. Just as by faith we claim that eternal life and a home in heaven by faith. And by faith, God, today we want to leave better than what we came in. And we want to live by faith. We don't just want to talk about faith. We want to live by faith so that others, just like with these, others saw their testimony, they'll see our testimony that faith pleases God. There might be one today that needs saving faith. They've never been saved. They've never received. And it's a gift. You'll give them the faith if they'll just ask for it. And then, God, there's others that have faith, but they've kind of lost that faith. They've wandered away, and they put their faith in things or people or situations. Lord, I pray you'd bring them back to the faith of Christ through your Holy Ghost. And then some today, God's discouraged in the faith. They haven't seen the answer to those prayers yet. And Abraham hadn't seen it when you called him. And Sarah hadn't seen it when you called her. And none of these did. And some of them died never seeing it. So help them, Lord, to go on living by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. And one day, when we get to heaven, we'll understand it. Until then, give us the faith to go on. And whatever's done, if anything's done, we'll say Jesus did it all to him we owe. And we'll thank you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'll go on and read the whole chapter, which you ought to, if you never had, you ought to. If you'll go on and read the whole chapter, you'll see that living by faith is not always easy. It's not always what Joel Osteen tells you on TV. It's not always what Joyce Meyer teaches. Sometimes faith is hard. Sometimes faith hurts. Sometimes faith will prove you whether or not you have real faith. And my question today, if I titled this sermon, I would like to help you recognize real faith. Real faith. A lot of people talk about faith. Everywhere you turn around, they're talking about faith. They'll ask a movie star, how do you live? And they'll say, well, I have faith. And they'll ask some drunken country singer or drug addict rock or rap singer, well, how do you live? And they'll say, well, I live by faith. Well, faith in what? Faith in who? What kind of faith are you talking about? Now, this passage demonstrates what real faith is. Most of these people believed what God told them, yet they never saw the final result. Now, we were saved by faith. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8. And those of us who are saved, we know we're going to heaven. It's by faith. I've never seen heaven. Have you ever seen heaven? They wrote a song, said, West Virginia, a lot like heaven. I've been to West Virginia. It's nothing like heaven. Get on Highway 52 and go up to those mining towns. You'll say, this may not be hell, but it's awful close. I'm telling you, poor, pitiful things go on. Some will say, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Well, I'd say if heaven is like Dixie, I don't want to go. Amen. I've lived in Dixie all my life. It ain't always been easy. Some of you younger people, you just don't know how Dixie really used to be. Amen. And I tell people now, they say, well, people's mean. I said, people's nicer now than they've ever been. Amen. They're nicer now than they've ever been. And so what is real faith? What's real faith look like? Well, he gave us names. He gave us some names. He named people and he named the promises. Y'all young people, listen to me. Life's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to go blind going through life. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know who to trust. Come on, you old people. Say amen right there. Amen. So we have to have faith in some. Amen. There's one. I got one. Amen. Look, sometimes you just got to have faith in somebody and something bigger than you are. Amen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you got faith in people, you're going to be disappointed. And by the way, if they've got faith in you, they're going to be disappointed too. Amen. We'll all let you down. Oh, not me, preacher. I won't. Yeah, you did. You've already done it to somebody. Amen. And but faith is, you can't put it in fallible people. We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. We all have good intentions and fail. Every one of us. And so, even in your parents, I love my mama. My mama hadn't been gone that long. I love my mama. But I knew that my mama was a fallible human being. Now, I could love her even with her fallibility. I could love her anyway. Because love will do that. But I knew my mama wasn't always right. I'll never forget, I was preaching one time at the Chester County Jail. Some of y'all might have been there. And I was preaching that in Chester County Jail. No. Not Chester. New York. Well, that'd been a hard sermon there. But I was preaching down there, and I walked in, and there's a little walkway, and you had bars over here in the door. There's a little hallway and a wall back here, and a big TV up over on Monday night. They let me preach on Monday, every Monday night, and they had Monday night football. So I walked over there and turned the TV off. This guy jumped up and said, "Who do you think you are?" I said, "I'm the preacher. I come to preach." And "You can't do that. We got rights." I said, "You ain't got no rights. You're in jail." And so I get to preach, you know, and I talk about, let's see. I said, you know, the Bible says somewhere in my sermon, you know, I was young and full of energy. And I said, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say smoking will send you to hell, but it sure makes you smell like you've been there. This guy jumped up and he said, "You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong." I said, "Well, what?" He said, "My grandma said smoke will send you straight to hell." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, your grandma was wrong." "No, if he could have got through the bars, he'd have killed me." I kept on preaching. But no matter how good intentions I have, you have, mama has, grandma has, daddy has, we're all fallible human beings. We're all sinful human beings. We're born sinners. You were born a sinner. That gal said she was born that, she sang that song, she was born that way. She's right, she wasn't born gay, but she was born a sinner, which may manifest itself in that particular sin. Amen. Now, you listen to me. We need faith in something that's unchangeable and immovable. God said, "I'm God and I change not." Jesus said, "I'm God in the flesh and I change not." Amen. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you heard me, you heard the Father." Now, I want an infallible thing or something or someone to put my faith on. You see, Brother Billy, I can't figure this stuff out. I've never been able to figure it out. My whole life, I've been confused. Amen. My whole life. Because I don't always understand why things happen the way they do. My daughter, Suzanne, she's in town today. She's with charity, but she paid for me. She thought it would be a good birthday present to find out who my father's side of the family was. I don't know. And so she signed me up with Ancestry.com. And I had to go on there and put all kinds of stuff on there. Half stuff that you tell them. But I had to put all this stuff on there. And some of you didn't. It came back. You was a great-granddaughter of a king or prince or something. But not mine. So I put all that information on there. And it comes back. It says you're European descent, you know, 63% English, Scottish, Irish, you know, and 20-something percent of something else, 1% Congo. It never manifests itself. I can't dance. Put all that on there, and all I can find is people on my, they keep sending me stuff. They got my DNA. I spit in a bottle. Ain't that a beautiful thought? I spit in a bottle, I send it in, they check my DNA, and it keeps coming back all these relatives that are on my mama's side. Well, I said, "I ain't one to want to know. I already know that. I want to know the one on my daddy's side." But here's the point. How they know? How they know? They only know what they're told. For instance, suppose Brother Jeffrey and nobody on my father's side has submitted their DNA. They're not going to have it. But I really thought I was going to be a prince or something, you know. But I'm not. Look, there's nothing on planet Earth that's infallible. I want something that I can lay my head on the pillow at night and say, "I can't figure this out, but I know who has it in his hands." I can't trust me. If you trust you, you're foolish. The Bible says the heart's deceitfully wicked and no man can know it. You ever heard anybody say this? "Well, if I know my heart," usually girls say that. Well, if I know my heart, and you don't. I don't know my heart. You don't know your heart. We don't. Hey, look, half time we'll feel one way and it's really the other way. We have all kind of prejudices and hang-ups and everything else. We can't trust ourselves. You young people, listen to me. If you do that, you're going to end up married to the wrong person. Right. If you do that, you're going to end up with the wrong job. If you do that, you're going to end up an old person and you're going to have all these regrets because all your life you were the final authority. Now, when I was 16, I knew everything. If you didn't believe it, all you had to do was ask me. I'd have told you I knew everything. Amen? Ain't that the way 16-year-olds are? It's been a long time. I don't know, but you know. Amen. Listen, but so what happened was, just like with these people, God interrupted their lives. God interrupted Abraham's life. God interrupted Noah's life. God interrupted Moses' life. They weren't seeking for this stuff. God jumped in on it. And then when they met God, they finally met somebody that they could trust 100%, and that's faith. Faith, he says in Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. March 5th, 1978, I was at Eastside Baptist Church, dreading that 300 verse of just as I am without one plea, wishing they'd shut up so I could get out of there. I'd been in that situation several times and I was not comfortable. And then finally, God interrupted me. And I just felt like, boy, if I didn't get saved today, I was going to a devil's hell. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. I knew all to go to hell. If there was a commandment, I had broken it. And if there was a God in heaven, I was going to have to stand before a holy God as unholy as I was. And I prayed the first real prayer I'd ever prayed in my life. I said, Lord, if you'll help me. And I even went like this. I said, if you'll help me move my foot, I'll go down there. And I'll do whatever I got to do. I didn't know what I had to do. I just knew I had to do something. And when I went down that aisle, as I was weeping and crying, it was the sixth pew on the left-hand side. And as I went down that aisle, I was weeping and crying, and the burdens were just falling off. The weight, the guilt. Why? Because I was beginning to put my trust in somebody bigger than I was. I was putting all that burden on him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, my burden's light. And as I was going down there, listen, I didn't know anything about a catechism. I didn't know anything about doctrine. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything. All I knew is I was a sinner going to hell, seeking a way to stay out of hell. And he said, if I'd come, he'd save me. And by faith, I stepped out by faith. Yes. And by the time I got down here, I was just weeping and crying. And before they took me in a little room to read me three or four scriptures, admit you a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth, call on him. And before he ever did that, I was already saved. I just didn't know it. Yeah. All that did was confirm what had just happened to me. And I walked down that room that day, glory to God, I'm still crying, but I was a different man. Amen. I had a different mind, I had a different heart, I had a different spirit, I had different attitudes, I was born again. Amen. Now listen to me, just like these people. Why? Because I put it all on him that day. And I knew if I died and went to hell, it'd be trusting him and nothing else, and I couldn't go to hell trusting him. I wasn't trusting my works, I was trusting his words. I wasn't trusting my faithfulness, I was trusting his faithfulness. I told the preacher every time he asked me to get saved, I said, I won't live it a week. I won't live it a week. I can't do that. He said, no, you can't, but he can. And that day I put it all on him. So, faith is this. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, that's undeserved love. That's what that word means. Undeserved. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything to get it. By grace are you saved through faith. But he don't stop there. He says, that not of yourselves. You can't do it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We got nothing to brag about. It's all on him. Y'all still with me? That's called faith. It's a gift of God. Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now, Real faith, I want you to listen, real faith cannot be lost. Real faith cannot be given up. Real saving faith cannot be cast off. I meet people sometimes, I say, are you a Christian? They'll say, well, I used to be. I say, well, you never were. Well, I don't believe anymore. I said, you never believed in the first place. Because eternal life is how long? They'll say, that's eternal. I said, Jesus said he gave you eternal life. How can you stop that? You ain't got the power to stop that. Jesus said, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. And that includes you. You say, but I quit going to church. Whoop-de-doo. A lot of people have. Well, I quit doing like I do. Yeah. Yeah, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God since we've been saved. But our faith is not in us, it's in Him. You can't cast that. How do you lose something you never found? He gave you the faith. You didn't have the faith till you called on Him, then He put it in you. How can you cast Jesus out of you? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. I don't know about your house, but if you're at my house at supper, you're probably going to spend the night. I don't know. It's not by works. It's a gift. It cannot be lost. John chapter 10. I know this is old hat to some of y'all, but some people's never heard this. They went and joined the church, and they thought because they messed up after that, they lost their salvation. Look, John chapter 10. I think it's verse 27. Look at verse 27. John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give. I want you to underline that word give. And if your Bible don't say that, you need to get you a new one. And I give unto them eternal life. Not long as they deserve it. You ain't never going to deserve it. And they shall never perish. Look at this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now let's be honest today. If we're saved, we'll thank God. Man, we'll be jumping a pew. We'll be running up and down the aisles cutting cartwheels. Man, God saved us. We wasn't worthy to be saved us. Hey, let me tell you something. He changed you, gave you a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new name in heaven. But you still are always going to come short of the glory of God. I ain't what I used to be. Thank God, hallelujah, I'm not what I used to be. God's done a lot of work on this old boy here. But I'm not always what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I'm going to be either. Amen. This ain't the end of me. This is just part. That old kid song that we used to sing, he's still working on me. Yes. And guess what? He never gives up. Now, faith, listen, faith, this is real Lancaster, technical, mechanical, complicated. Okay, I'm from Lancaster. Y'all know how, that's a bastion of intelligence, you know, Lancaster. Faith, fell over here laughing from New York. Listen, faith depends on the object. Yes. It doesn't depend on me, it depends on what I put my faith in. Right. You see that chair right there? I got faith in that chair. Now it's up to that chair to hold me up. You say, well, you're done putting your faith in it. No, I just got through sitting in it. I know it works. Faith, it depends on the object. I put my faith on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, pure, perfect, holy, undefiled, who died in the place of sinners like me so we could go to heaven. And I put my faith in Him, not me and then Him, but Him and not me at all. Hey, I'm going to sit right. Ain't got a thing to do with me. The chair doing all the work. Chair does all the work. All I got to do is have enough faith to sit down and start with. And the same way with my salvation. I don't say, well, I'm going to be saved and. Well, I'm going to believe on Jesus then. No, I just put it on Him. Yes. It's all on Him. None of it's on me. You say, well, preacher, that's the easy believism. Amen. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, that rich man, those much riches hinders him because he's trying to figure out how to pay for it. Yeah, it's easy. The easiest thing I ever did after I finally admitted what I was and looked at what I was, the easiest thing I ever did was turn to Jesus. I didn't join anything. I didn't memorize anything. I didn't go to classes to learn how to do it. I didn't get approved by a board, you know. I just turned to Jesus that day and I said, Lord, if you'll have me, I sure like to go to heaven. Amen. Now it's all on Him.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything. So He's going to do whatever it takes to get me to heaven. That's faith. Do you understand that? Now, not only to have faith in Him to get me to heaven, but I have faith on Him to take care of me on the way.
Yes.
You know, some of y'all would be better Christians if you just put it on Him.
Amen.
Put it all on Him.
Yes.
If I fail as a Christian, I'm putting it on Him. Lord, You said You'd keep me. Lord, You said You'd guide me. If I fail, I just put it on Him. My faith in a chair allows me to sit down. But the chair holds me up. And my faith in Christ allows me to sit in His lap. He's the one that holds me up. Listen to this. The depth of my faith depends on the level of knowledge about that object. I'm going to know something about that chair before I sit down in it. Now, if some of you made a chair, I wouldn't sit in it. Because I've got some knowledge about you. And I know the origin of that chair, and it would not be dependable. Amen. Amen. So, the level of your faith depends on the knowledge of what you're putting your faith in. Now, I've had some hope-so cars. You ever had hope-so cars? I hope they get me to town. And a lot of them didn't. I remember driving on the side of the road one time because I was driving a 65 Ford station wagon I borrowed because I wrecked my car. I was a teenager. And the shop gave me this old junker to drive. And way up here on Highway 5 between Langston and Rock Hill, I had a flat tire. And there was no spare and no jack. So you know what I did? I just run that flat tire off the side of the road and rode it off the side of the road all the way to Rock Hill. But you don't need, look, here's what you do. You put your faith in what you know. Y'all still with me?
Right.
I looked around. I know God had saved some other people. I saw the results in their lives. And then I went to church and I heard the Word of God. And the Word of God, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I understood more about why I needed to be saved and how salvation was brought and how it was kept because I heard it by the Word of God. So the depth of my faith depended on how much I knew about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Paul said, how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
Now, y'all, listen. Look here, young man. I want to help. The more you know about Him, the more you'll believe in Him.
Amen.
Now, before I was saved, you know, we had a picture of what we called Jesus on our wall. He looked like all the rest of us hippies. He had long hair down to his shoulders and blue eyes. And I don't know how you get blue eyes on a Jew. And long, straight, blonde hair. But he had blue eyes and long, straight. And look, that was all I knew about him. And that was not good knowledge. And then we had a big family Bible sitting on the coffee table. Did y'all ever have a coffee table? Did y'all drink coffee? Y'all yuppies or something. I'm sure y'all drank. At our house, it wasn't at Starbucks, okay? Starbucks wouldn't let you have a Bible. And we had a coffee table out there and had one of those big... Y'all remember family Bibles?
Yes.
Births, deaths, lots of babies' hair, four-leaf clovers. I'm serious. But nobody ever read it. Nobody ever read that Bible. But they said it was the Word of God, so my knowledge was limited. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, I didn't know enough about the Word of God to be saved. How could I have faith? So the depth of my faith, how much I believe on Jesus Christ, is determined by the knowledge that I have about Him. And the only place I'm going to get that knowledge is through the Word of God. That's why God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Somebody's got to preach it to you, because you ain't going to read it until after you get saved. Lost people don't just read the Bible. Well, I'm going to do my daily Bible study today. You know, I just love the Bible. No, somebody's got to help you. How shall they hear without a preacher? That Ethiopian eunuch had been all the way to Israel in Acts chapter 8. He'd been to the temple. He went to worship. The queen of Candace had let him go from Africa. And he went all the way to Israel on a chariot. And then he was leaving, and he went back, and God's Spirit had Philip up there beside him. And Philip's running through the desert beside the chariot, going down through the desert. And Philip said, just like old ignorant Baptist preacher, ain't he? He runs up beside the car and says, "Understandest what thou readest?" That's what I want to do when I see y'all texting and driving. Really, I want to say, you're going to wake up in another territory if you keep doing that. But he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he stopped that chariot and he said, listen to what he said. "How can I accept some man guide me?" He said, "Is the prophet speaking of himself or another to come?" Isaiah 53, he was reading. And Philip, the Bible says, Philip took it and preached unto him Jesus. And he got a fuller knowledge. He'd been to the temple. He'd seen the Old Testament worship. He'd seen the Old Testament sacrifices. He'd met the priesthood. He'd went through the ceremonies. And he left empty and ignorant. Ceremonies don't save you. Your faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So here's a old ignorant itinerant preacher who's not in the priesthood, and he's never been part of the religious worship. And he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I accept some man guide me?" And he gave him a fuller knowledge of Jesus. Right. And then, look, he didn't even do like I did. He didn't weep. He didn't cry. He wasn't as wicked as some of us was. He didn't have so much to weep and cry about. But he said, well, in the desert, now listen to this, we're having baptism tonight. In the desert, he said, "Here's water. What hinders me being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." He said, "I believe." And he said, they both went down to water. Amen. And he got baptized. That's his profession of faith that day. He received Christ because he had more knowledge, and it gave him something to put his faith in other than ceremony and religion. I want to ask you this. How deep is your faith? Amen. Will it carry you through failures? Will it carry you through sickness and death? Will it carry you through heartache and heartbreak? Yes. Young people, listen to me. You're awful young. Some of you are awful young. You hadn't experienced a lot yet. And I know you think the world's a wonderful place, but this is a hard place. And you're going to need some faith coming. You're going to need it. Listen to me. In Matthew 14:27, he said this, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." What you got to do, you got to get your eyes on Him. You get your eyes on Him. And then, even though it's not of works that we are saved, it's by grace through faith. Listen to me, I'm about through. Listen. KFC's waiting on some of you. Listen. Even though it's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. James 2:17. Well, James chapter 2, he's talking about faith and works. He said, he's saying faith is a wonderful thing. He said, "But show me your faith, I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead." Now listen. I can believe that chair will hold me up, but if I never sit on it, that's dead faith.
That's right.
If I believe it's going to hold me up, then I need to sit in it. I can say Jesus is the Savior, but until I call on Him and go to Him, He's not my Savior. I can say I'm a Christian. A lot of people say that. You ask them, you say, "What faith are you?" They'll say, Oh, here's the world famous one in the obituary column. He was of the Baptist faith. That means he didn't go to church. That means he didn't have a good testimony. We don't know if he was saved or not, but he was of the Baptist faith. Mama's down there in the cemetery. Grandma's down there. He's of the Baptist faith. Yeah, but what did he do with that faith? Did he receive Christ? John 1:12 means received him. And then after he received Christ, did he work out his salvation in fear and trembling? Did he live for him? Did he love him enough to serve him? Help me. Amen. Faith, look, faith is active, it's not passive. Some people think this is faith. That's the end of it.
Yep.
I'm done.
Yep.
Got my name written down in heaven. Woo! Going to heaven. I'm okay. If that's all the faith does in your life, you don't have saving faith. We used to sing that song, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. Now you listen to me, faith will make you do some things. You know, I walked out of that church that day that God had implanted faith in my heart and my mind, and I loved people and I never knew what love was. I was like some of you. We didn't. My house, the word never was said growing up. Love. It's more like, are you stupid? Are you dumb? Oh, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You just white trash. You remember that, Billy? I walked there that day. I just loved everybody. And you know, it didn't take me long. I started telling people. And I'd go home and my mom and my brothers and sisters, and before I got saved, I'm sure my mom may have when I was little, but I have no memory of my mom ever holding me and saying, I love you. She went to work every day, paid the bills. Hey, she took care of us, but it was never said. Our brothers and sisters, there were 9 of us in all. I never heard anybody say love. So after I got saved, I'd go home and I try, and what limited knowledge and faith I had, I tried to share it to them, and I'd say, I love you.
Yes.
Do you know how hard that is to say when you ain't never said it?
Yes.
Do you know how hard that is to say to people that cuss you out all the time?
Yes.
You know how hard that is to say? But my faith produced that.
Yes.
It produced that. Faith that doesn't produce something is not real. Faith takes a stand. Faith always takes a stand. You won't read any disciple, not one, in the New Testament that did not take a stand for Christ. And there was only one that ever tried to be a secret Christian. That was Peter. And he got convicted so bad, he went out and got right with God and became the greatest preacher of all of them.
Amen.
You won't find anywhere in the Old Testament where the Old Testament saints, the list I just read that goes on through that chapter, where they ever denied faith in God, where they ever denied the promises of God. They lived for them and died for them. Go read that old chapter. Some of them by faith lost everything they had and had to wear animal skins and live in caves. Some of them, because of the faith they had in God, lost everything they had and everybody they had and became pilgrims and strangers. Some they even called vagabonds. They wandered from place to place. They lost their family. They lost their position in society. They lost their ownership of things. And they died in faith, proclaiming by faith what they believed. Sometimes I wonder. I'm not the best Christian in this room. I know that. I'm not saying that out of humility. It's not humility, it's fact. I am not the best Christian in this room. There's some in here who've given up more than I have. There's some that suffered more than I have. There's some that's taken more stands than I've taken. But if your faith doesn't cause you to take some stands, you don't have any faith.
Amen.
We sing that song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And part of it says, no turning back. No turning back. And you young people, look at me. Where are we going back to? Where are we going to go? Back to the hate? Back to the ignorance? Back to the broken heart? Back to the disappointment? Back to the bottle? Back to the drug? Back to loneliness and disappointment? Where are you going to go back to? So just take a stand.
Amen.
An old song says, like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Now you listen to me, because of Bible faith, there's some things I believe Jesus Christ being the Savior is number one. And I will not be moved. I don't care if every devil in hell hates my guts. I don't care. I've lost family. I've lost friends. I've lost positions. I've lost jobs. I've lost Christian friends. But I shall not be moved. He's my Savior. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul said in Romans 1:16. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth. You say, preacher, our society is not friendly to Christians anymore. I don't care. I'm going to be one anyway. Well, preacher, my family doesn't love me like they ought to, but that's their problem. As long as I love him, they got to love me. If they don't, that's their problem. It's not my problem. I'm better to them than I used to be. Why would they not love me more? I'm not ashamed of saying I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christian living. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to be. But it is because one day I got enough knowledge about him and I looked at him and I decided I can trust him better than trust all of us. And he's in me and I'm in him. And he's already prepared me a place in heaven. And I'm going to trust him.
Amen.
If all of you leave, I still trust him. They took a stand. Some lost. Some died for it. But in the end, there's a bigger reward than this. I'd rather suffer my whole life and celebrate through all eternity with Jesus than to have everything I wanted down here and die and go to a devil's hell through all eternity. So the question is, do you have real faith? You know, there's more Christians in China now than there is America. And you lose everything you become a Christian there. You know, there's more. The Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, had this big vote on LGBT and all this stuff, and they had other things they argued over, and they argued over. And you know, the ones that really took biblical stands were those that outnumbered the rest of them. They were from Africa. Did you know more people are being saved and baptized in Africa than they are in America right now? So I question, who's got real faith? These are poor people. They're not rich, but who's got real faith? The Bible says examine yourself to see if you're in faith. Now, since March 5th, I've not doubted not one day, not 1 minute, not 1 hour that he saved me and taken me to heaven. I don't doubt that. Now, I've doubted me. I have. I've doubted me. I've doubted my calling sometimes. But I've never doubted him, not one time. Because, see, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, and he goes on to say, things yet to come shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. so I shall not be moved. You're going to do whatever you want to. You have faith in whoever you want to, whatever you want to, but I have found a final resting place. I'm not looking anymore. I'm done. That's real faith. Let's stand.